I'm not sure if you're the one to give these to, but I would like, let me grab one for myself. I'm sorry, I did not have time to get them stapled, but it's going to be one. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, get some help.
You got it? Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have a start in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Now tonight, I'm not sure if it's because I work with kids a lot, but sometimes I have difficulty coming up with a sermon that's long enough for adults. So tonight, you guys are not going to have one sermon, you guys are going to have two. Two short sermons I'm going to put back to back. But they're going to relate to each other. And as I also teach, maybe it's because I'm accustomed to teaching to children, but I oftentimes am accused of teaching very simply. But sometimes I think, and while I can, I think, cover great doctrines and other things like that, I do think sometimes we miss the simple truths that are in the Bible, and we don't need more information, but we just need to learn to do what we already know about. So you talk about three papers there. Now, I have a question for you. This is not a trick question, so just answer the question. Do you believe, or do you recognize at least, that physical exercise is beneficial to good health? Yes or no? Okay, everyone raises their hand. That's good. So we all have this information. We know this. Now, I'm going to be organizing a 5K marathon tomorrow. How many of you will join me? No? Me neither. Okay, I hate running. It's just, I really, really, really dislike it. Now, maybe if you're accustomed to, you know, maybe some of you here, you're accustomed to working out and you enjoy that kind of thing and you're accustomed to running. But even though we all recognize the value of physical exercise to our good health, that doesn't mean that we do it. And it doesn't mean that we're ready to run a marathon tomorrow. It takes effort, it takes training, it takes a certain amount of commitment and mental energy to get us ourselves worked up for that kind of a thing. Now that's a physical example, but what if I were to move this over into the spiritual realm? You know, if I were to say, how many of you recognize the importance of prayer? And I'm assuming all of us would raise our hands. And then if I were to ask you to, if we were to take a tally of how much prayer actually happened this last week, we might find that what we say we believe and what actually happens is a little bit different. And if I were to say, you know, do you believe in the importance of God's Word? Probably everyone would raise their hand. In fact, the fact that you're here, whether you're watching or you're here, shows to me that you have a greater than average value of the Word of God. You recognize its importance and you're here. But if we were to try and identify how much scripture we read this week or how many verses we've memorized this past month, we might kind of have a different metric on whether what we say we hold valuable and what actually happens. There was a story that I heard on a Voice of a Martyr's podcast recently, and it was a story where one of the missionaries was comparing, I believe it was Russia, I could be wrong, or one of the USSR countries, when they were under persecution. He said, we gathered together a group of young people for a youth group. And this was while the communist regime was in power or whatever. And he said, and what we did was we decided that we were going to try and see how much of the scripture they had memorized. So we asked them to work together and see how much of the gospels they could put together. And these young people gathered together, and he said, they were able to compile the entirety of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they were so excited by their success that they went and compiled most of the book of Acts, all from memory. He then said, 20 or 30 years later, whatever it was, in recent days, he went back to that same area, had a youth group, and he had them try and do the same thing now that, you know, of course, they have complete freedom to worship and read God's Scripture. And he said it was pitiful. They couldn't hardly come up with anything. You know, in our day, we have access to God's Word like no other time in history. I mean, our access to God's Word is, I'm going to call it cheap. The access to it, at least. You can buy books for a buck. You can get it for free on a phone, an electronic device that you already own and use. And then as far as, you know, accessing that information, we have Bible study tools like you wouldn't believe available to us. The internet, if you, you know, use that, you can get entire commentaries and other things that allow us to access the Scripture. But in spite of this increase in information, I don't get the sense that Christians are memorizing more of God's Word. And so tonight, my challenge is very simple. And I want to talk to you very simply about memorizing Scripture. And I'm going to title this, The Importance of Making God's Word a Priority in Your Mind. Now, in Psalms chapter 1, what does he say? Well, in Psalms chapter 1, he says that the man, the blessed man, in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what does it say? Doth he meditate day and night. And in verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever, and his fruit, and his leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, what's the word? Prosper. Do you want to prosper as a believer? Then it seems like there's a direct link between verse 2, the man who meditates day and night, and the man who prospers. So here we say God's Word is important, but what do we do? Well, I'm going to kind of change my... I put up here memorization, but I am going to kind of say, really in Scripture, the command is not so much to memorize as it is to meditate. Now you say, but what about, you know, Psalms 119, Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Well, actually, David is just telling us what he had done with God's Word. It's not really a command to us. There are other couple of instances where God seems to be indicating that we're supposed to work to keep His Word in our heart. But really the command is to meditate. And why do I make this distinction? Well, there are a few different reasons. One reason is because in the day when the Scriptures were written, Scripture was expensive, the access to it anyway. It was bound up in large scrolls that were so expensive that even kings had difficulty acquiring these. In other words, memorization possibly is not commanded very much because it's just assumed that it happens. In order for anyone to review God's Word, they would have to have it memorized. And so the command to meditate presumes that they would have it memorized because they would not have access to a book with God's Word on it. So that's perhaps one reason. Another reason perhaps that God told us to meditate rather than memorize is just because not every person can memorize. Most of us probably here tonight can, but particularly as disease or old age comes upon you, your ability to memorize can be diminished. In severe cases of dementia or Alzheimer's of these things, really the ability to learn new concepts, it becomes very difficult. We'll just put it that way. But you can still, with the appropriate tools and assistance, even with a failing mind, you can still meditate on God's Word. What do I mean by meditating? Well, it's just the review and the thinking about and the contemplation of Scripture. But there's another reason, perhaps, that God told us to meditate and not to memorize. And this is because memorization doesn't work. You say, what do you mean? Well, God didn't program our brains so much to keep things memorized as He did program our brains to forget things. If we remembered everything that our brain processes, we would go crazy. In other words, our brains are more processing machines that are built to forget things than they are memorization machines that are built to retain things. And so the brain only remembers what it thinks is valuable. And something is considered valuable by your brain when you think about it over and over and over and over again. In other words, scripture memory is not a matter of committing something to memory and then it's there for the rest of your life. No, our brains don't work like that. If we don't meditate, we won't have it memorized for very long. So, when I say memorization, more or less, I'm going to be encouraging us toward this kind of first step of actually getting God's Word into our brains. But really, the ultimate goal is meditation. That's where the true value comes from God's Word. Now, I do want to look at some common excuses. These don't necessarily come from the Bible, but some common excuses for not memorizing the Bible. Some people say, I don't have a good memory. Now, I kind of already mentioned this. There are, as you grow older and as disease sets in, sometimes memory can diminish. But really, if you were able to drive yourself here, you probably have a good enough memory to memorize Scripture, okay? You don't have to have a good memory to memorize Scripture, and definitely not to meditate on it, especially with the tools that we have available today. Some people say, well, it'll take too much time, or, oh dear, I'm too busy. Now, hopefully you don't say this out loud, I'm too busy for God's Word, but when it comes to our daily schedules, what tends to happen? Yeah, life tends to take over. Or even just the idea that I'm not very interested. Ouch. But I have to say, this oftentimes comes down to where I'm at. Like, memorizing Scripture, sometimes I'm in love with it. And sometimes it's just a chore. And I would much rather play video games. Okay. Some people say, well, I've tried it before and it never really worked. Well, back to the brain was programmed to forget things. You don't memorize things once and then they're there forever. You have to keep at it. So it is hard work, but just because you've tried it before and you've forgotten the things that you've learned just means that you weren't meditating enough. And then, of course, there's the excuse that I don't know how to do it. Oh, wait. I think I skipped number 5. I read the Bible every day. Why do I need to memorize it? Well, you don't always have access to the Scriptures. And you can't really meditate on something effectively unless it's in your brain. So it's important to memorize Scripture even if you have ready access to the Scripture. And number 6, I don't know how to do it. Well, I'm hopefully in the next 5 minutes going to just give you a few resources. I don't have enough time to really develop this. But my hope is that I'm going to just sow a seed in your mind. And I don't know where you're at as far as your own personal goals for memorizing Scripture are, whether you're doing it or whether you're not, or how much you're doing. But my goal tonight is to just sow this little thought. Maybe this thought will take months to grow. Maybe it will take years to grow. It did for me. But when you have this thought, I'm going to be serious about this. I'm going to actually do it, and I'm going to memorize some Bible, and I'm going to keep on it. Then I'm hoping that you'll have me in mind and you'll be able to contact me, or you'll have these resources readily available. I would love to help you. I love talking about memorizing Scripture. This is kind of a journey that I've been on. And so if you want to come onto this journey with me, there's a lot that I've studied, a lot that I've learned, a lot of resources that I've found, a lot of ways that I probably could assist you with that if you're serious and you kind of want a memory coach. I'm here for you. It'll just take you reaching out to me. I'm not going to push you, okay? So, as far as Bible memory resources go, and how to do this, there are two basic approaches. One is topical, and one is what I'm calling sequential. Now, topical is where you kind of identify a subject, and mostly what I'm talking about here is kind of a memory program, or where you're really wanting to learn God's Word to its fullest, and you're willing to digest large numbers of verses. So one way to approach this is topically, where you basically say, I want to memorize, for example, all the verses on God's love. And so you memorize verses on God's love. Or I want to memorize verses that deal with anger so that I can help counter my sin of anger. or you get the idea. So you take a topic and then miscellaneous, but verses scattered throughout Scripture, and then you begin to learn those. Sequential is where you're learning larger sections of Scripture sequentially. So verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. And what the benefit to topical is, it's very applicable to your life. The verses tend to have special meaning, and they tend to be, some verses are kind of the cream of the crop. Now, every verse is important, though, and this is where sequential can be very valuable, because, God said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Jesus, when he was countering Satan, he said that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so if we're just skipping over verses and just learning our favorites, we may not be doing the full justice to God's Word. And so sequential memorization, where you don't skip verses, you just memorize large sections, this kind of helps make sure that you're not skipping any of those important verses. And so as you do this, I'm putting my contact information up here. For those of you that are live streaming, you don't have access to these papers, but my contact information is on these papers also. But again, just send me an email or a phone call or a text. Now, I would really, really, really encourage you, these resources that I'm giving you, I could give you many more, but I've chosen these three resources for a very specific reason, and I really would encourage you. They are all online, so if you don't have access to the internet, I'm really sorry. Contact me, maybe I can find a way for you to have access to them offline. But Andrew Davis's book deals with sequential memorization, and also, I've given you a sheet called High Volume Bible Memory. And this sheet is not Andrew Davis's. Andrew Davis slightly different approaches to memorizing entire books of Scripture. You say, that's just too much. Well, you might be surprised. So this is kind of a process and review, and Andrew Davis it's a larger book, so I can't print it all and give it to you. It's a pamphlet, kind of like a tract size. But look that up online, give that a read if you're interested in memorizing larger sections of Scripture. He really has a very good philosophy. And that has to do, of course, with the sequential approach. Now, Ron Hood is more an advocate of a topical approach. And if you're a little more old school, he gives you kind of some directions for how to use paper flashcards to memorize Scripture. And he uses something that I'll mention later. I won't have time to explain it, but it's called spaced repetition. And it's where you study something a lot with a lot of repetitions up front. And then as time goes on, you use fewer and fewer repetitions. So it just makes your study, your meditation, your recall more efficient so that you're able to retain larger amounts of information and keeping your time very manageable. So, for example, I have over 600 verses that I study, and it's really only about 15 verses a day, 15 minutes a day, 20 verses a day, 15 minutes a day. And I can more or less keep 600 verses fresh in my mind because of spaced repetition in a method similar to Ron Hood's. Those of you who are in college, I would encourage you to look into spaced repetition for some of your learning if you need long-term retention. It just has to do with brain science. So this is more of a topical approach, but it's a kind of breaks down a flashcard approach. It looks a little complicated. Once you get the hang of it, though, it's very easy to follow and very easy to good. Just takes easy to do. Just takes a little bit of preparation and practice. Now, there is a friend that I have at IPM. His name is Mike Davidson. And so on your sheet, you have a link to a podcast where I do an interview with him. But what he has done is he's compiled over 400 verses and assigned them different topics. And really, we could almost call it a Bible Institute through Scripture memory. We'll break down the major doctrines, discipleship topics. Fantastic resource. I've worked my way through some of that. I tend toward the sequential approach myself, but if you really want to go heavy with the topical approach, a tremendous, tremendous resource. I would really encourage you to look that up. He also has some good insights on how to memorize. So, very quickly, how to do it? Well, I would encourage you to use what I call a spaced repetition system. And if the system that Ron Hood uses is a little bit too complicated or too cumbersome for you, there are apps available. I didn't put down the apps here, but the apps that you will want to use are Remember Me, and you'll find that on remem.me online. That is a free app for Android, uses spaced repetition. You can keep hundreds of verses on your cell phone where you couldn't keep those kind of flashcards in your pocket. And just whenever you have downtime, you can be reviewing verses. You know, Satan has used these devices to pull us away from God's Word. And I kind of like the idea of kind of taking some of that ground back and using some of these devices to pull me a little closer to God's Word. So if you have a smartphone, and find a scripture memory app. Another good one is Scripture Typer. It is not free. I think they changed their name. But you can actually get a family plan where you can all work together kind of on the app as a family if that interests you. So spaced repetition systems are very powerful. Those of you that have children or grandchildren, definitely teach children to memorize. Singing really helps. I've given you two resources on your papers here. Mr. E's Scripture Songs. I don't know if you all remember Tom Rickard, who comes through at the Vacation Bible Schools. You remember the Scripture Songs he sings? He gets those from Earl Martin, i.e. Mr. E. Mr. E, his songs are not free, but they're well worth whatever you're going to pay for them. He has almost 100 Scripture Songs. Just put them playing. They're catchy tunes. They're not just for kids. I learned Scripture that way too. But also, a fantastic resource that I found just a couple years ago was singthekjv.app. This woman, bless her heart, has put chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters, entire books to music. The entire book of Proverbs to music. She's working her way through the Psalms, several books from the Old Testament and New Testament. So just a tremendous, tremendous resource. My mother complains about some of her singing and the style's a little bit random. It's hard, almost as hard to learn the song as it is to learn the verse. But some of her songs are better than others. But really, just if singing really, really helps. If you can sing it, you can remember it. And it kind of carries with you throughout the day, and that's really helpful. Just a reminder that forgetting is normal. Again, memorization depends on meditation. Really, the simplest approach is just to read it over and over. There are some other things that you can do to help your brain memorize things, but if you just read it enough times, it will get stored in your brain. But one thing I recommend, especially, once again, kind of take advantage of these devices, is get an audio Bible or an audio MP3 of the Bible, and you can just set a chapter on repeat, and if you do that for a couple of weeks, you'll be surprised how much of that chapter you will have already memorized almost without even trying. So these are just a few resources. And now it's time for my second sermon. Well, as for my second sermon, I have heard a lot of these things. And what almost my entire life, I knew that Scripture memory was important. But I didn't really know how to do it or if it was really possible for me. And so it was several years ago where, as kind of a New Year's resolution, I had some time away from the ministry and at home, and I thought, I'm going to do it. I'm going to memorize a book. I thought, what book should I memorize? I thought, I'll memorize the book of James. And so I had a lot of time on my hands, and so I worked and worked and worked, and I was able to memorize the entire book of James in only 4 days. Now, I say that, it's going to sound like a brag. I worked 8-9 hours a day. It almost broke my brain. I don't do that every week. But afterwards, I was not filled with pride. I was actually humbled. Because for nearly 30 years, or 20 years, or whatever it was, I had been telling myself that Scripture memory was too hard. And here I memorized an entire book in only 4 days. And I just realized how much time and brain power I had wasted for basically all my life up to that point. And so, after I memorized the book of James, I've continued to press forward. Currently, I'm working through the book of Galatians. Like I said, I have over 600 verses, and that's a testimony to God's grace and what He's done through me. I will admit, I do have an intelligent mind. Not everyone may have the same powers of memorization that I have. But you also have a brain that God has given you. And some of you may be even more intelligent than I am. What are you doing with your brain. And so for my second sermon, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to attempt to quote the book of James from memory. It's a very famous short sermon. So if you want to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of James, and you can kind of follow along and laugh at me when I miss a word or maybe an entire verse. It won't be that long. It should only take about 15 minutes. So I apologize if it's going to go a little longer, but it shouldn't go too long. So I'm going to go ahead and start. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Oh, I forgot a verse. Verse 18. Sorry, guys. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Oh, I forgot a lot of verses. I forgot 17 too. Okay. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now I'll jump back down to verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and ye say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. For mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, I have faith, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive? Can the olive tree, my... can the... Oh, help me out, please. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Okay. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. For he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. But above all, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if ye have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. If any of you, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, James chapter 1, verse 21-22 says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And then he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So when it comes to this one small discipline in the Christian's life, the idea of meditating or memorizing on Scripture, are you willing to do it? So I hope that my example and the things that I've given you have at least encouraged you toward that end. And again, my hope is that as that seed begins to grow, that you will contact me or will begin to seek out resources on your own, and maybe you'll kickstart or re-kickstart your love for memorizing Scripture. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word, for the precious truth that is in it. And I pray that you would be with each one of us. There are many things that we know to do and we just don't do it. I pray that you'd work in my heart, even in many other areas. And I pray that you'd also just encourage us all to take up this duty of memorizing and meditating on Scripture. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you all, and you are dismissed.